and their suggestions. And I can't today, you can't even check it out, so I said, well, he's approving it. He's approving us, and now all this not going for him. He's approving it. I just see the glory. I see his glory. I see the really long glory out all over this country.
Thank you, Jesus.
Blessed be his name.
Blessed be his name.
Oh, come on, guys.
I want to go a little bit further here.
Blessed be his name.
Blessed be his name.
There we go.
Yes.
So I would like to ask, and Bud doesn't have any idea, that we need to, I'm not asking for everybody to pray about this during the service and stuff, and I would like just to pledge. I'm not asking for anything else. So we have a direction, because if everybody knows that little dollar bill makes everything happen. We wish it didn't. But it does. It makes things flow outside in the world and even in here. So for us to grow, we need, you know, it starts with a penny. There is nothing too little and there's nothing too great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so don't never feel that, you know, hey, I've got 10 cents in my pocket, it's not worth it. Remember the lady that gave her last penny? Or was it a mite? You know? You know? She was blessed beyond belief.
Mm-hmm.
So never think too little is too little, or too much is too little, you know. We're all from different backgrounds, we all have different needs, and but I really believe in my heart that we're going to grow, and if everybody today would just make a pledge, you know, to what you think you could do to grow for the church, for this, if you think church, for the family,
because
it is a family.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you could do that, it'd be much appreciated. And just pray on it. And if it's not today, that box back there is set strings all during the week, and you could be here every night of the week. You know? Yeah. Now you've got a little something to say.
I do. Just to kind of follow up on what Mike said. Now, Mike is in the shower. He's getting washed down. He said, I had the weirdest dream. He said, that makes any sense at all. And so I'm on the other side. He began sharing it. And I knew immediately the interpretation. I mean, it just totally blew me away. It's the first time I've actually known an interpretation.
You didn't know what color
it was. Yeah, I didn't know what color it was. But I knew what God was doing. And I knew that was our family that God's talking about here. And I'm excited because just so many things have happened. Kevin and I were together yesterday. Commitment. We have talked about commitment. And if we don't commit to something, it's not going to get done. Don't just throw it in the air and walk away. I had a dream last night also. And it follows up with this. Very dear friends of mine were praying, and all of a sudden, I mean, Spirit fell man. And all of a sudden, he's filled with this horrible fear. Hits him. I mean, he goes around and he closes everything all around the house, you know, and running. And I'm saying, my God, he's got a fear of fear. You know what I mean? I know it. And other people in the house know it too, but they're walking away from it. Okay. But this happens every day, people, in our own life. This happens every day. We have people that say, oh, I see what that is. I'm going to walk away from it. And we don't do flat stuff about it. And then, you know, I began just going ahead and getting that spirit fear out and commanding in the name of Jesus. I command you to stop. And all of a sudden, I mean, this guy came. Bam, down he went, and he's kind of tight. And the ghost don't know what kind of tight means. He's moving, guys. And he's in a different state, you know. And he ain't talking to me, and you guys are glassed over. That's kind of tight. And so, I say, crap. So, you ever been in that state, and you got that feeling with you? And so then I say, you know, and I just continue on. And then the very best friend is just running back and forth, you know. I mean, they're big to do in the church, and dun-da-dun-da-da, you know. But they're not doing nothing. And I said, pray! My God, don't you see we got a problem here? We need to pray. You're in trouble. And finally, you know, after shaking him a little bit, he wound up praying. But it totally amazed me. This is what is happening in our own body and in our own family where we can't play church. We can't play God's word. God says, walk in it. I like that. Believe and receive, doubt and do without. And I don't know about you, but I ain't doing without no more. I want this family to grow, and I want each and every one of us to make a commitment. You know, Mike and I talked about covenant, and I reminded Mike, and I go back to the time that Michael Harris wouldn't come to church because God told him he had to wash blood feet. And Mike says, I ain't going. That ain't going to happen. I am not washing no man's foot in front of no church. So Mike gets out of church for a few weeks. And I didn't know what was going on with him. I didn't know God was dealing with him. I just was supposed to continue to pray for him to get back in church. You know? And what that was a semblance of what God joined together. And what it was Michael submitting up underneath God and up underneath the leadership. That is what that was. And when I went to Canada, and I'm walking down the street, and God says, boom, drop them in the middle. He said, God, your fearful father, I get hungry. What? You know, I mean, God is good. Why he does things is absolutely not important. He'll take someone that is nothing and nobody in this world. That people will sit on. That people say, well, I don't want to be around them. What if someone sees me with that person?
You come back, then I'll sit in there.
Blessed be his name. But what Jesus can do is awesome. He took and he gave me a man that I am so connected to. He's my spiritual dad, and in everything I do, I've learned from him. Isn't that interesting how we, from our parents, we learn? And I've learned so much from God, and that's why God put me there. But here God, with his lovely sense of humor, took an alcoholic. And he made him my dad. And the spiritual realm. Now, in my physical realm, I had an alcoholic dad, thank you very much. I didn't need another one. You know what I mean? What God did, he didn't give me the same one I had in my physical realm. God didn't give me one that you're drinking the different wine. You didn't drink the wine my dad drank. He showed me what a father was supposed to do. He showed me how to pray for my first person. He showed me that I could do it if I trusted in Jesus. He showed me how to walk in what the Word says. It's not what man says. It wasn't what God says. It's don't go by what I say. Go by what the Word says. You know, and that's one thing that when God did, he said, know me. And you're only going to know him when you get under him. And you get into a relationship with him. And this is why, this is not a church. And it's not about being a church, as Michael said. This is about a family. This is about knowing you, knowing you, knowing you.
There's something, the definition of a covenant. And that's what a family is, because it's connected with blood. One family member is really has a covenant with another family member because they're connected by blood. But a covenant is actually, each one of us is a drop of water. And we drop into this glass that we're all connected. Now, I would put a challenge to anybody to put a drop in there and then go get it back off. The exact same drop. You've got to pull it out. It's impossible. So once you make a covenant with this family, and you're part of all of it. Good, bad, ugly, short, tall, you know, smelly, whatever. In a time of need, in a time of great wealth, a time of sorrow, a time of laughter, you are a part of the family, just like a family. Just because you don't like what your brother does, you can't disown him. He's still your brother. And that's why when you become a part of this family, no matter what you do, you're a part of this family, and you always will be. And I'm sorry, folks, you can't get rid of it.
That's right. God will not let you off on a covenant. When you make a covenant is binding. God said, I am a covenant God. I covet with my people. And he says, I don't go back. No matter that he doesn't like what we are doing, he still made a covenant. And he gave Jesus for our covenant. And Jesus did it with his blood.
Okay. We got one more song here. Put your hand in the hand. I think everybody probably knows this song. You know. But Glenn started.
One other thing. If you'll come up to Mike at the end of this, and Mike doesn't have a clue that I'm going to say this, as he's staring at me. It is a commitment, people, and we are growing. And we need a commitment of 10 cents. We need a commitment of $10. We need a commitment of $100. We need a monthly, regular building fund commitment today. Go to Mike and talk to him about it, and let's let it happen. It's only going to happen when we join as a family. And you know what? I looked at my finances, and it's like, God, I don't have enough to make a plug. I don't have enough to pay all my bills. But you know what? God said, well, give mine first and quit taking out the bills first. And I tell you what, I believe that he's going to cover me, because if not, then that book is not real, and it does not provide for me. And I believe that God will. I make a $10 commitment. You know, if everybody in here made a $10 commitment or a $15 commitment, add that up times 50, 60, 70, 80 people. We probably have 100 people right now. If you give a $10 commitment, that's $1,000 a month. We can do a building for $1,000 a month that's double in this size. I know we can. And I know there's others that will give more than 10 because they have the ability, not because they're some wonderful person. And there's some that can't make that 10. But I'm telling you, if it takes 10 cents, you donate your 10 cents, and God will double that. And that's not a prosperity lesson. That's the fact of life from the Word of God.
Paul's got something to say.
Sorry, we're taking a break.
I just praise God this morning, hallelujah, that these people are speaking under an unction of the Holy Spirit. And I just want to just tie it just for an instant here together. Right in with the Bible, Jesus, it says, increased in stature in the eyes of men and before God. And this is what this is all about. This is not a thing that people are trying to expand, hallelujah, to glorify themselves or to have political power or to look good in the community. It says baptize and teach, hallelujah.
Right.
And God has equipped this body of believers, hallelujah, with all five of the ascension gift ministries, and more than one of each, hallelujah. So what we're talking about, God willing, and I have to believe that he is, hallelujah, that we have more of a facility somewhere along the line, hallelujah. And I praise God, I was thinking about this, that someone might be hearing otherwise. Someone, especially a new person here, might be hearing, oops, it's just another church. And they want to go, they want to do this, and they want to get a building fund, and they're doing this now. Well, I was here 3 years ago, and they weren't even talking like that. That's not what's happening here. What's happening here is God is on the move.
Amen. Amen.
I look in the back there, and I see powerful ministries.
Amen.
I look here, powerful ministries. Hallelujah. Every place I look, I see powerful ministries. I see people with a heart toward the Lord, hallelujah, that have given their lives to the Lord and willing to serve. He's greatly honored. He's pleased. He's glorified in our worship this morning. And our heads are looking on high, hallelujah. Well, why wouldn't they be? We're the family of God. We are the kingdom of God on earth. We're already seated in heavenly places, hallelujah. We minister around about us on this earth, hallelujah, hallelujah, to sinner and especially to the brethren. Hallelujah. Mm. And he's well pleased with that. And he's pleased that he's teaching. Always the Holy Spirit is showing us that sometimes we need to look down. Because some are sinking. Hallelujah. Some are getting lower and lower. He's saying that this gospel needs to be preached. Hallelujah. This good news about Jesus with power. Hallelujah. And by example. Amen. Hallelujah. Right. By people seeing changed lives in his children. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Our God is able. Hallelujah.
Yes.
His arm is plenty long.
Yes,
he
is.
Can reach right to the gates of hell and snatch one. Hallelujah.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Right.
He wants to share that glory with us. Hallelujah.
Glory.
He wants us to grab his hand. Hallelujah. And then reach down in Jesus' name and yank them out. Hallelujah.
Right.
Into eternal life.
Woo!
And that's what's happening here. It's not about getting a big facility.
Right.
It's not about us. It's about Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
God's not willing that any should perish. That's Hallelujah. Right. He said, right. baptize and teach. That's the last thing he said in one of the Gospels. Baptize and teach.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Right.
And you got to have room. He's not willing that even one would perish. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And this is evidence that the truth about Jesus is being preached and taught here. Hallelujah. Because the Holy Spirit is drawing people in a number of other churches and ministries, I'm sure. It's not that we're exclusive. Hallelujah. It's that we ain't got That's enough right. room. Hallelujah.
Right.
And God, right. hallelujah, the harvest is here.
Right.
Hallelujah. Right. Hallelujah.
Lord.
And God is having us extend ourselves to baptize and teach and to praise His holy name. You can look around this room and everybody here is seated next to a very powerful person.
Right.
Hallelujah. They're seated next to a person. Every single look person here is look seated next to a person that has really given his life to Jesus.
Right.
And if even one be otherwise, come on up here at the end of the service and the brother will pray for you. But anyway, this is a good thing. This is not a scary thing.
No.
God never calls us to a bad thing.
Right.
Baptize and teach.
Right.
Increase in stature in the eyes of men. Hallelujah. Yeah. We haven't been raptured yet. We're still working.
Right. Right. Don't sit down.
And before
talk.
God.
Right.
Thank you. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We're blessed people. We are really a blessed people. I'm going to tell you, I'm just dazzled when I look out here. I look around this place and I am dazzled by what I see. And so is God. Hallelujah. And Jesus is nudging him and he's saying, look at that, Pop. Look at those people
right.
down there.
Right.
Look what they're
right.
doing. Hallelujah.
Right.
In
right.
Jesus' name. It's
right.
true. It's
right.
true. In spite of ourselves, it's true.
Right.
And blessed be his name.
Blessed be his name.
Praise God.
Amen.
Blessed be his name.
Amen.
Well, I know Bud wants to get up here sometime today.
Yeah.
We got one little song, and probably nobody here knows this, so it's going to take a little while for everybody to learn it.
I think everybody
this
knows song.
This guy came in this morning and said, hey, do you know this?
I am honored to have you as my spiritual father.
Oh. Is there another lady that loves to sing?
It's just a little ditty. This is when...
Who wants somebody?
Remember years ago when gospel songs were on the regular radio?
No. Okay, come on. Who else?
Let's stand up. Let's put our hands together.
Okay, come on.
Let's get into this
song, you know this
right
song.
Now. We're going to give them that chance. Here we go.
Put your hand in the hand of a man who's still in the water. Put your hand in the hand of a man on the sea. Take a look at yourself and you can look at another differently. Put your hand in the hand of a man from Galilee.
I'm gonna find it out before you go. I reach the age of seven. She said, there'll come a time when you'll probably be in heaven. I'm a fine son, I don't think the fire's been what I profess to be. And it causes me shame to know we're not the people we should be.
Put your hand in the hand of a man to steal the water. Put your hand in the hand of a man to cross the sea. Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently. Put your hand in the hand of a man from Galilee. Put your hand in the hand of a man to steal the water. Put your hand in the hand of a man upon the sea. Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently. By putting your hand in the hand of a man from Galilee.
Keeper! Woo! What it's about. When we put our hand in his hand, there ain't nothing that we can't do because we're going to join another brother and another sister and we're going to go. Because we are the army of the Lord Most High. Amen.
gone now.
I think most of you know that Rob and I are in the process of getting ready to move into a newer home. It's Rob's home that he has purchased, and at the same time we're getting my, or our home, ready to put on the market. And we're frightfully busy, and we've allowed ourselves to get a little bit stressed out. We haven't had a whole lot of fun. It's been tension time and difficulty in relating and so on. So we haven't had a lot of levity, a lot of laughs. Well, something happened last week which changed everything, and I was so glad that the Lord saw fit to bring some laughter in big time. And I want to share this with you. I'll try to do it as rapidly as I can because Bud is, he needs to get on here. But anyway, what happened at our house was that the remote control disappeared for our television. And... I didn't know you'd be so glad to hear that. But anyway, my oldest son owns that television set. He does not currently live with us, but he allows us to use that. Well, it disappeared, and John came into the house, and he said, "Where's the remote?" Now, John cannot really function without the remote. I mean, he can't. And as Jerry Seinfeld once said, men don't want to know what's on television. They just want to know what else is on. So it's around and around and around. Well, he can't function. I don't have a problem with that at all. In the first place, Rob and I haven't watched much TV because we've been so busy. Well, he came to the house. He discovered it was missing, and he blamed me. He said, "Where did you put it?" And I said, "John, I looked all over. I can't find it. I'll bet you put it in a box and took it over to the other house by mistake." "No, I don't think I would do that." And I said, "I don't know where it is. I'm sorry." So he went through the dresser drawers and everything that was laid out, the boxes that were going to the other house, couldn't find it. And I said, "Now, I promise that I will continue to look for this, but I didn't do anything with it." And so a few weeks went by. We still hadn't found it. And he wasn't searching anymore, but "Have you found it?" "No." So one day I thought, I owe it to him to go and get him a new remote. And this is a fine remote. It belongs to a Zenith TV. They had a universal one at Kmart, and I bought it. He took a look at it and sniffed. It wasn't good enough because he said, "This does not do what mine does." And I said, okay, John. But he started to use it. Okay, a little time went by, and lo and behold, someone who was visiting our home happened upon the remote, the one that had been misplaced. And I told him all the time, I said, "I believe it's going to be found, John. I don't know how, but it will be found." So it was in on the dining room table where I had been doing a lot of typing. And when John and his girlfriend came to visit us the next day, I went, "Ada? I even tried calling him. I couldn't. And I thought, no, I'm going to play with this a little bit. So he came in with Dee Dee, and he grinned. And I said, "See, I knew it was going to be found." And he then went out into the garage. And we didn't pay any attention. Dee Dee and I began to talk about other things. And a few minutes later, he walked in. And he said, "Here, Mom, it'll never be misplaced again. You'll never lose the remote." And this is what he handed me that he had fashioned in the garage. And I think you're going to love it. This is what he gave me, a cast iron frying pan hitched onto, with a bungee cord, onto the remote. And I cracked up. I couldn't help it. This is my kind of humor. And I hugged him, he hugged me, Dee Dee hugged both of us, and we giggled and laughed, and I said, "And I can cook with it at the same time." And if anyone has ever lifted a cast iron pan, you know it's heavy.
Yeah, you got a little one in.
Well, that was John's response to my problem.
Now I'm on again. I'm on again. You know, one thing about this church, you don't ever know what's going on. I'd like to welcome everybody today in the name of Jesus. And this is Valentine's coming up, so all you ladies, happy Valentine's Day. I even wore my red shirt. This is the Blood of Jesus shirt. You heard earlier where Mike delayed 3 weeks to wash my feet. One time I wore cowboy boots to church, and I wanted thick socks. The only thing, the toes were out on the socks. Well, nobody's going to take my boots off, right? Wrong. That's the day Mike showed up to wash my feet, and so when I take my boots off, here's my toes. You know, it talks about in the Word that we need to die to self. You know, and you can't embarrass a dead man. And so we need to walk in that realm, and it's hard to do sometimes. But if you hang around here, they'll work it out for you. That when he was talking about that dream that really sunk into me, I understood what it was talking about. The Lord just wants to touch people. And that's what we are, is people. You know, it's one thing about the church. If you didn't have any people, you wouldn't have any problems. You don't have to smile, but it's okay. But see, we're into the people business. That's exactly what we're into. And we need to learn how to reach out and touch others. See, that's what this is all about. One of us learns something, and we learn how to reach out and touch another and bless them. And it's not a bless me club, because we all have problems. Every one of us. See, you know why we're holy? We got holes. You know why we need to get refilled? The Lord showed me like a bucket you shot with a shotgun full of water, and it's leaking. We leak. So we need to get refilled, because all the time we're leaking, especially when you're putting out ministry to others. You need to be refreshed by other people. I've been praying about a healing for myself. And I had, 2 days ago, a gal called me from Phoenix, Arizona. Said, the Lord showed me that you were the devil's trying to put you in a sick bed and keep you there. Said, I want to pray for you. And I haven't talked to her in 3-4 years. And then this morning, a gal called from Portland. Said, the Lord woke me up at 4 a.m., put you on my heart. Said, what's happening? The other gal, the Lord showed about the sickness, and Stephanie. And Stephanie's the one that was the first miracle in her house, that she had rheumatoid arthritis and had it for several years. And we prayed for her, and God just took it away. And that's been a long time ago. And I hadn't seen her in quite a while, too. And the Lord woke her up and had her pray. So what does that tell me? It tells me the Lord is thinking about me. And also, it's a witness. I'm going to talk today a little bit about prophecy. I want to talk a little bit about witness. Well, what's a witness? What makes one witness? What makes two? What makes three? And where I want to start the Word is in John chapter 18 and verse 20. Now, the Word is for edification. This, you know, when I bring a Word, it's for me as much as it is for you. Whoever's here, you know, I never single anybody with a word. This is for me, too. So there's something we need to look at. And the thing that we're going to see first is that Jesus did nothing in secret. He didn't do anything in secret. He done nothing in secret. And if we got something to say, you know, out and say, thus saith the Lord, then I ought to be able to stand up here and you're all in on it. Amen? See, blessed be his name, yes. So see, it's not anything private. When we're doing these kind of things, it's open. Now, I have given a prophetic word before, and then I've gone too far and got in my flesh and went a little further. It's easy to do, folks. We can all do it. It's not a hard thing to do. You begin, and then it sounds so good, you just decide to put frosting on the cake. And we can do that. And all I'm doing today is showing us and teaching us so we can catch on something when it comes. We know what's right and what's wrong. The two gals that called me, those were two witnesses. They were both from different places. I don't even think they know each other. They had two strong witnesses. Now, let's start here in John 18. You say, what's this got to do with prophecy? A lot. let's go 18:19. I always like to change it a little. Keep them on their toes. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. And Jesus, in other words, what have you been teaching? What have you been doing? Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, where the Jews always resort. And in secret have I said nothing. He never went out to have some private little meeting to get a few God bumps. He was always giving it out for everybody. Now, look at this. Why askest thou me? Ask them that heard me what I have told and said unto them. Behold, they know what I said. Now, he's got people that are falsely accusing him there. He's got a bunch that is railroading him. It's a kangaroo court. And he's even saying, ask them. Ask these liars here what kind of a person I am. And the liars will say, yeah, he was always in the temple. They all knew he was. Everything he did, you know what his ministry was? To reach every person. See, and today there's nobody that's any better in this room than anybody else. That's the way God does stuff. You start getting somebody that's inflated, they probably got hot air. You know, really. And so when you get into leadership, you especially have to watch it, because pretty soon people start looking to you. They start looking to me, and this is all you get. I'm an ex-drunken logger. And the only thing that I've done is went to Holy Ghost University. God is smart. I am not. We got that? Okay. But I have a heart for people. God changed my heart from a heart of stone and gave me a heart, a real heart for people. And I care about people. I want to see them set free. I want to see them touched. And so we have to watch how we minister so that nobody, including us, gets hurt along the way. Amen? I mean, I know that none of you want to harm against anybody. And I sure don't want you harming me. It's like I tell people, if you got something that I'm saying you don't like, please don't shout during the service. Wait till afterwards and come talk to me. Really? You know, because it may disrupt some newcomer. Now, don't think that people don't come to me sometimes. I have a lady right here, the if and them. You know, I can't just tell all the good things. You know, there's some things you got to do to get to the good things. And so Sue says, now, but if and then, if you do this, then you get that. Okay, it's good. I like it. Now, the next place I want to go, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. No, wait a minute. I want to go to 2 Corinthians 13. I have a hard time telling where I'm going. 2 Corinthians 13. There's a lot of places I could go, and I'm not going to get into this real heavy today. I just want to give us a little touch of how you tell what's going on. In 13:1, Paul's saying, this is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. See, and that is something that you can use in the natural. How many of you ever, you women, ever went to a store and you're looking for a hat, bought the first one you found? You don't have to raise your hand. Boy, the looks I got. You shop, don't you? You better. You should. So when I'm buying parts for cars, I always call at least three places. And I've had the price run from $185 high to $50 low. Well, when I went to school, that's quite a savings to me. So this principle works in a lot of areas. It really does. You don't just go and just buy something. Us guys are more apt to do that, buy a big boat that we don't need. And then wonder how we're gonna tell the wife before we get home. Praise the Lord. Okay, now would you come up here? I want to demonstrate this. Rule, would you and Peggy come up here? Now, you're going to give him a word, okay? They gave him a word. Now, there's two of them. They're together, and they know about this word together. How many witnesses we got? One. You got two people, but you got the same, they know the same thing. You know, they've got this thing going together, so it's only one witness. And he don't count because that's not out of two or three witnesses. He's just a receiver. Now, would you come up here? Now, along comes Lois, and she picks up on what's going on. And then she witnesses or agrees. How many witnesses we got? Well, there's three people there. See, you only got one witness because they're still knowing what's going on. See, you see that? You can get into that, and she's innocent because she hears the other two talking and praying, and then it becomes part of her, and then she can get in on it too. She may not say exactly the same thing, but by some way or any way agreeing, then he's thinking he's got three witnesses. Now, what if they're telling him to sell everything, your car lot and everything, and move to Nome, Alaska this afternoon? So you're going to want more witness, aren't you? Huh? Now, people will do that. Say, sell everything you got and go into the ministry. Just quit everything and go. And it can be devastating. I've seen it happen. They go there. He goes to Nome. He's freezing up there. No ministry, no money. No mind, no fun. Signed your son. Too bad. So sad. Signed your dad. You know, this is what's going on. So, come up here, Larry. Now, let's say that Larry comes along, and he comes from a whole different place. Now, he don't know what's been going on. He's been clear over here. Now, if he comes in and begins to talk to him, then what do we got? We finally got two witnesses, don't we? You see how that works? Okay, you can sit down. You can all sit down. And so it's by plane ticket to Nome. There's his plane ticket to Nome. All right, we got a witness.
And if you open it up, it's just totally empty.
Yeah.
Not worth anything.
There. That's what he's going to get when he gets to Nome. I like that. Okay. It's just like Jessica and the other gal that called me. See, I had two witnesses because they don't know each other, and they called from different states. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. So we need to be sure that we have witnesses from, and depending on the severity of it. Now, if somebody told me today I had to go to Nome, I'd want an Ethiopian to beat on my door at midnight with an oath from God. Authenticated. I'm telling you, because I don't like the cold. And so, a full envelope. Yeah, I want something in the envelope. Want all my expenses paid. Now, that are you all getting what I'm saying? You know, if somebody comes along with something, we need to know. And it's easy for us to get off on something. I've done it. I'm going to have you raise hands, but we're all capable. So, do you understand the two or three witnesses? It has to be somebody not even connected or heard anything that anybody's doing, and they have the capability to come in and tell you, thus saith the Lord. Okay? Blessed be his name. Praise the Lord. Now I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'm just doing this to... This is to edify us and let us know what is going on when somebody talks to you. First of all, if it has to do with anything, it can be spoken here so that we all know. Amen? Should be open. Should, see? Because he's been doing things secret. So, first of all, can I share it with anybody? I tell my brother here he's going to be the next president of the United States. But don't tell anybody. It's between you and me and God. And he can say... Oh, gosh, let's put this out in front of everybody. I want to know what kind of word this is. Amen? Then we got a chance to see it. Okay, chapter 14 and verse 26. First Corinthians 14, 26. Okay, it's been talking about Let's go to verse 24. I'm sorry. But if all prophesy and there come one that believes not, or one unlearned, he is convicted of all, he is judged of all. And thus the secrets of his heart is manifest, and so falling down his face will worship God and report that God is with you of a truth. Now, how does that work? You have somebody come in to a meeting, or where you are, and you begin to pray for them, and you begin to see things about them that they haven't told you. Okay? And see, pretty soon this begins to convict them because they didn't tell you and they didn't tell nobody, and they just knew in the meeting, and you're beginning to get into the secrets of their heart. I remember a little gal over when we was on the other side. I said, you and the pink skirt come up, God's got a word for you. So when I began to pray for her, I'm talking about her being in tarot cards and sorcery, witchcraft, and all kinds of stuff. She's going, how does he know all of this? Well, I didn't know a thing. I'm hearing from the Lord, and see, and this is beginning to convict her. And that day she got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because she was convicted that God was with me. I didn't know anything about her. I had no clue. But many times as we begin to minister to people, it'll begin to come. And it's for edification and lifting up. And don't be afraid now to come up for prayer that I'm going to see every deed about you. The Lord is only going to show me what I need to know to set you free. And you come back the next day, remember all of that went on, say, no, I don't want, why would I want to remember? Jesus forgot it. As soon as it's gone, why should I remember it? And why should you? See, he's coming to set us loose from things. I tell people many times, you bury the old tomcat, you don't go out the next day to see how he's doing. How about 3 days later? He's beginning to stink, isn't he? Well, if you buried it, leave him buried. Go digging him up. And the enemy will come in your mind with things from the past. How many knows that? He'll just keep ragging on you and ragging on you and ragging on you. And some of your good Christian friends sometimes will help him rag on you. They don't mean to, but they may. And so, blessed be the name of the Lord. Okay, so your first witness is with the Holy Spirit. And he belongs to you. He's come into your hearts and lives to be there forever. And he wants you to be a minister to people. That's what you are. It says we're kings and priests unto our God. And so, this is what I tell people to make it real simple. Jesus has come into your heart. What is he lacking? He's not lacking any of the fruit of the Spirit, not lacking healing, signs and wonders. He's not lacking anything, is he? Okay? Well, if he's there, then what are you lacking? See, you're not coming up short. I don't have a huge Jesus and you got some tiny Tim. It's the same one for all of us. It's how do we react and how do we... See, you grow by doing things. And if you've never laid hands on somebody, then do it. You will have a beautiful time because you'll begin to see things happen. They'll shout. Shout for joy. And victory resound in the tents of the righteous of the Lord. Okay. Blessed be his name. Okay, if any man speak in a tongue, King James has unknown, it's in little print, so we'll leave it out. Let it be by two or three, by course, and let one interpret. Verse 27. But there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in church, and let him speak himself to God. Okay? That's talking about somebody who prophesies in tongues, and there isn't any interpretation, so just go on with it. Now, many churches, though, people will have a word in tongues, and they're so nervous or think it's from the devil, they won't give God a chance to give the interpretation. You have to give some time there. Okay? And so, if somebody speaks in tongues, it's not interpreted, just go on. And by the way, I'm speaking in tongues. Man did not go and sit on the stump and invent English. So if you don't like tongues, then be quiet, because that's what we speak in. Now, God will give you tongues of angels that people can't understand, and Satan can't understand. That's why he's against it. Okay.